Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues, the name of the program here, Today's Issues on American Family Radio. We're on the internet at AFR.net. You can send us an email at this address, comments@AFR.net, comments@AFR.net. We have 183 radio stations. Walker, is that right?
How many did you say?
How many? 183?
Yes, I thought you said 380. Yes, you're correct. 182 radio stations.
Across America.
32 states.
We broadcast on, and then we also have, so if you're traveling and you want to listen to our radio network, you can go to our website, AFR.net. We have a station listing there. Also, we're on the internet.
Right? Yeah, and you know, a great feature that we've really been trying to promote and build up over the past few years is the various apps. So the American Family Radio app, but we have it on various platforms. So not only can you get it on your smartphone, but you can also download it on your Roku device at home and your Amazon Alexa device. So, for example, I have Roku at my house. So in the morning, I can go to the Roku app and pull up the AFR app, and I can listen live to American Family Radio from my TV. So if I'm in the kitchen working and stuff, I can listen to AFR from my TV.
Really?
Yep. And you can also go back and listen to previous shows from the same app on the Roku device. So
on your TV.
That's right. Amazon Alexa, where you ask the smart home speaker, play American Family Radio, you can do that. You can download the app on Roku. And, of course, on your phone, you can download the AFR app.
I don't want to get too detailed here, but what exactly? I don't have Roku. I've heard of that. What exactly is
Roku
that?
Is just a device that you can use to...
Where do you buy it at Walmart or
yeah,
you
can
Best
download,
Buy or somewhere?
Yeah, you can download various apps on that device.
Gotcha.
So it's basically, it's if you want to stream, use a streaming service.
Like Netflix or
Amazon. Or PlayStation View or others, you can purchase a little Roku device, very small box.
Yeah.
Plug it into your TV, and on that box is various apps, such as AFR.
We do this with our grandkids when we babysit at my son's house. I downloaded the Roku app on my phone, and so it has like a remote control on it. Mm-hmm. So you turn, the Roku box is always on. So, okay, we can go to Disney, you know, Disney or Netflix or whatever, and you find the show that the grandkids want to watch, and you hit play. Mm-hmm. It's very handy.
Or you can also order Roku at a Japanese restaurant, you know?
Yeah, either raw or cooked.
Yeah, get your edamame and your Roku, and you're set. Steve Jordahl is with us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
How are you doing, my friend?
I'm well. I actually thought about Roku when I moved recently, and I thought, I'm tired of paying $100 and whatever for cable, and I thought, let's get Roku, and $25 a month plus streaming fees and everything. The only problem was at the time it didn't have live TV, so I wasn't going to be able to watch live sports or that kind of stuff. I don't know if they fixed that yet, but it sounded to me like a good alternative to the traditional satellite or cable.
I think they have NBC Sports. They have an app, kind of things.
You know, I'm not endorsing Sony, but personally I have the Roku device, and then I have Comcast as my internet provider, Roku device, and I have PlayStation View, which is a Sony product. Live television. I even get the local weather channels, WTVA here in North Mississippi, WCBI, and the NBC, so the Sunday night football games. I get all that live television and on-demand stuff for $75 a month.
Wow.
That's with internet and TV.
We'll talk offline here, Brian Walker.
Yeah. Wow. That's interesting.
So the streaming and the internet is really more affordable right now.
Good. So, folks, you can get Walker Wildman to come to your house
and
help you old people to get all this.
On commission.
Roku also is a card game
as well.
A lot of people don't realize that.
No.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issue. Steve Jordahl, the professional newsman. From across the street, his offices are in a different building.
They are.
that he's joined us here for the 11 to 11:30 part of this program. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
What do you got for us?
Well, let's talk about the Democrat Party, how it's kind of moving to the left.
Really?
Yeah.
You noticed this?
Listen.
He's sharp, this guy.
Leave it to the professionals. I'm a professional. it takes one to determine this. But no, and there's several indicators, and I want to talk about a couple of them. Let's start. I know you guys already played. I think you played the protester at the Gavin Newsom swearing in. Let's listen to what Gavin Newsom's goals are for the state of California.
Build a house stronger than the coming storms, yet open to the world. A house that provides shelter to all who need it and sanctuary to all who seek it. Where opportunity abounds for all who will work for it. A true California house, sun-kissed, dream-soaked, and built with the sweat of honest work. We will not have one house for the rich and one for the poor, or one for the native-born and one for the rest. We will build one house for one California.
So that's his goal for the state of California.
Gag me with a spoon.
Yeah.
Good night.
Listen, I said
syrupy nonsense.
When he became elected mayor of San Francisco, I did. I told people when I was at the AFA Journal, I said, because I covered some of his stuff, because he's very pro-homosexual. I said, this guy's aiming for the presidency. Mm-hmm. And that is what he's done. He has moved up the ladder, and now you get this kind of a, he's testing his speech chops, and that is just a big bunch of nothing, what he just said.
An awful lot of cliches, didn't you hear? But if you dig down deep into them, you see that it's an open borders policy.
Right.
There's a lot of dreams and programs that they're going to be spending other people's money on. And this is kind of part of the other shoe to drop in this, is a Gallup poll that I came across this morning, which finds that 51% of Democrats now self-identify as liberal. It's the first time that the Democrat Party has actually claimed the term. And a recent Gallup poll shows that 57% of Democrats view socialism positively, while 47% view capitalism positively. So they're swinging to the left in the socialist left. And so we're really going to face a choice of the parties are going farther and farther apart come the 2020 election. This kind of stuff I'm hearing from several people that we heard from Gavin Newsom could be the death of the Democrat Party in 2020. They might elect Donald Trump for another term because Americans see through it.
Well, at this point, they do. And to your point, the two parties are becoming more and more polarized, more and more opposite. So the Democratic Party is becoming more and more, okay, secular, obviously pro-abortion, but socialist. Okay, so we're not just talking what liberal, the self-identification is liberal here, 51% by Gallup, first time ever. That was always a label that Democrats wanted to avoid because of what Ronald Reagan did to that label when he won, and then George H.W. Bush. So they wanted to stay away from the label, but they're not afraid anymore. And they're more open about their secularism and their socialism, and you're going to have people who are traditionalists and who are primarily Christian and or other religious conservatives over in the Republican Party. This is going to be a stark contrast between these two parties. But I think that if more and more young people who are raised in public schools and colleges and universities that are brainwashing them to accept socialism and to ignore the historical examples of what socialist countries very often become, we could see this being the death of America, not just the death of the Democratic Party, depending on what Americans
decide. It's getting better around here by the minute.
Yeah.
You know, but Democrats know.
Thank you, Ed, for sharing that with us.
One thing Democrats are good at is playing the long game. Democrats are playing the long game here. They may lose a battle here or there. Hillary Clinton may not win here or there. But they know long-term, with the education brainwashing that Ed just talked about, or really it's a lack of education, a lack of history, with that going on, you know, long-term, it's in the Democrats' favor in the sense that they believe, you know, that's why they pumped so much money into Texas for the Senate race not because they really, really thought they had a chance that Robert Beto O'Rourke would win, but long term, if they could flip Texas, you know, they're playing the long game here, and in their plan, you know, it may take 10, 20, 30 years, but they're wanting to turn the whole U.S. blue.
Yeah.
Whether they'll succeed, we'll see.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. By the way, tonight, just want to repeat that tonight the president will be speaking.
I will be covering that. I'll be coming in tonight late to listen to that and the Democrat response.
You'll be speaking from the Oval Office.
He will be speaking from the Oval Office.
For the first time.
Yeah, for the first time. The plan right now, as we heard, I don't know, did you guys listen to what Vice President Pence? Yeah, you did. As Vice President,
no, we did.
No, we did not.
I don't remember hearing that.
Okay, we can let's listen to that then. This is Vice President Pence had a little bit of a preview of what you might be hearing tonight from the president.
60,000 people are now attempting to come into our country illegally every month. That's more than 2,000 a day. But what's unique about it, Hallie, and why the Washington Post has even called it a bona fide emergency, is because the vast majority of those people now are families and unaccompanied children, and it simply is overwhelming the ability of our Customs and Border Patrol to address it. But the Democrats need to come to the table and start negotiating. But tonight, the president will take that case to the American people.
So the president is expected to make a case that there's a national emergency at the border, and that he needs his wall. Now, whether he will present a concrete plan to get that, I know you guys talked about Manchin's $69 billion fund that he thinks he could get it from.
No pun intended, a concrete plan.
Yeah, good. But he is expected to make the case. It's interesting, the words. I read this morning that we can't even – they're arguing over what the definition of negotiation is. It's semantical suicide that they're committing up in Washington.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I hope, of course, I agree with the president on this issue. And tonight will be a opportunity for him. a lot depends on what he has to say tonight and how he says it. I don't think tonight's speech is a good time to call out crying Chuck Schumer, get into name calling. I mean, President Trump is prone to that theater, and it served him well for the most part. It helps frame the issues sometimes when you can use
pejoratives.
Yeah, I mean, they all do it. They all do it.
So, but you're saying from the Oval Office?
No, not tonight. Yeah. Not tonight. This is not a good time to be.
And I don't even think, to your point, it needs to be about Republican and Democrat, because the issue is not a Republican-Democrat issue.
He needs to speak to the American people. It's from the Oval Office. It's a serious time and a serious talk and a serious issue, and it's time for. So he needs, and I think he will. I think he'll rise to the occasion. Make whatever it is, 8-10 minute appeal to the American people based on the facts. Now, you're going to have to, you know, emotion does count some in it. He probably needs to tell a story or two about the impact of the illegal immigration is having on our country. And I think it would help him if he would say, listen, something to this effect. America is a welcoming country. I am not opposed to people coming here from around the world. We welcome people. We add a million... Even from Central America or Mexico, you are welcome to come to our country. But if you're going to come here, you got to come so legally. That's what we're saying here. In other words, make a show some human compassion for the reasons people want to come to America. Right. Identify with that.
That'd be a perfect speech.
Don't you think so?
Be a perfect speech. And I think most fair-minded Americans would say, okay, that makes sense to me.
And
people are going to come. It needs to be orderly, so we know who's here. We want to take care of, you know. That's
a good speech. Other thing, Walker, and then I'll let you talk here. I've been telling you that my whole life, your whole life. No, is this? He does need to say this about the Democrats. He needs to say, "I've laid out my plan for securing the border, which is reasonable and very inexpensive." The Democrats are about to come on here, Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, and criticize the idea of a barrier as being immoral. The truth is they don't have a plan. If they do, I expect them to share with you like I've just shared you with my plan. So he needs to do put the onus on them, because what the Democrats, all they're doing right now is saying a wall is immoral. We're against any kind of barrier.
So we want the status quo.
So we want the status quo, and the status quo is open borders.
60,000 a month.
And he also needs to say that I'm the president of all Americans, and this is not a Republican issue. Building a physical barrier, whether it be a steel fence or a concrete wall, I really don't care. And I think most people don't care.
No.
Whatever it's framed, whatever it's called, whatever it looks like.
As long as it does the job.
As long as it's an impediment, I'm good with it. But he needs to say that long-term, if he's able to secure our border, this will benefit Democrats and Republicans,
right,
all of our kids, because they will be able to live in a safe America, a prosperous America, and an America that doesn't favor illegal activities, which is what happens now.
If you're listening to this tonight, to the president and
what time
to
is it?
Democrats,
you know what
it's
time
at 8 o'clock Central, 9 o'clock on the East Coast. That would be 5 o'clock Mountain Time. I'm sorry, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock Mountain Time. So if you're listening to this tonight, listen for some catchphrases and understand what you're hearing. When you hear the Democrats talk about border security, they want to equate that with, well, we're doing exactly what President Trump does. We're just doing it a little differently. We're calling it border security. Be careful, because there's no plan. There's no detail about what they mean about border security. They've been crying border security. We're for it. We're for it.
Right.
But President Trump has laid out a specific plan of what he thinks border security should look like. It includes a barrier, a wall, a fence, a concrete, steel, whatever it is. It includes that, and it's an integral part of that. It's not the only part of what he wants to bring to the border, but it is part of what he wants to bring to the border. The other thing is, it's going to be, Tim, I think it's going to be really difficult for the president to avoid the political talk, because surrounding this, the base of this whole argument is that the Democrats don't want to give him a win. It is, they are playing partisan.
Yeah.
They won't say it, but that's at the base of it. And how do you, and so we can play the game and pretend we're playing politics and we're really discussing about a border wall. What we're really discussing is whether President Trump gets a win or
we all know that, but the problem is you never make an argument that can be easily dismissed. And if I was Nancy Pelosi or Chuck Schumer, which I'm grateful I'm not, I would just simply dismiss that argument and say this: the president takes everything personally. This has got nothing to do with him getting a win or a loss. We want the American people to win, and so we want border security. And to Tim's point, I would say from the president's standpoint, I know we're giving him advice that he probably won't heed.
He listens,
I'm
sure.
I would say during my speech, if I was the president, I would say the Democrats will come on and talk about border security.
Yeah.
What I want you to listen for is how would they stop 60,000 people coming in illegally every month?
Bingo.
That's what I want to hear them say.
And I agree with all of you about that.
I believe the wall will. He gives examples of how walls work. You listen to the Democrats.
Right.
What would their border security, if they're going to continue doing the same thing, that means 60,000 people a month still come in illegally.
Yes.
How do you stop that, Democrats?
That's a great point. He needs to say that. He needs to put them on the spot, because Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, I assume, are coming on immediately following the president, and they've already got their – now, they've thought about this, I'm sure, but still, I think they're counting on bemoaning what the president wants to do rather than offering a
if they're smart, and they are crafty, I would say,
right,
I'd come on and say, we are willing to increase the amount of money for border agents. We are willing to increase this. We are willing to increase that. Just no wall.
Yeah.
Because that sends the wrong message.
But you know,
we want to build bridges, not erect walls. So the president has got to, he's got to preempt that, and he's got to say, listen, we can't do the same old thing, and that's what they want to do. The wall is the only thing that is going to give us some breathing room so we can implement other.
Yeah, because as it stands today, if you get across the border, whether it be illegally or if you get across the border, then you're here.
Yeah.
Because of the way our system works, you're here.
And
so
this,
we can put thousands of more agents and drones and all that, but that's not going to stop them. Right. That's actually going to expedite the process of them getting to the detention center.
Especially if you come here with a minor.
And then you're and then you're released into the streets.
Right, right. Steve, next story.
Chicago. Let's talk about Chicago. They got a racket going. This is not unusual for Chicago. No?
Okay. A racket for Chicago?
Yeah, Chicago. A racket.
Chicago.
This is the racket. It's like Al Capone still hanging around down there. So this is what's happening. Chicago, as you know, is a very crowded city, and parking is at a premium. And oftentimes, people park in places that they shouldn't park. What happens?
I think that's universal.
It is. Well, it's a worse problem in Chicago than many. It's Chicago's like all crowded cities where you just parking is at a premium. And so, if you park illegally in Chicago, you get a ticket. And if you don't pay the ticket, you're likely to get a boot on your car, which is one of those restraining devices they put on the rear wheel. You can't go anywhere. You have a certain amount of time, and if you don't take that boot off, pay your tickets and they have them take the boot off, they will tow the car. Now, what's happening is when they get these towed cars, and I don't know if maybe it's the worst offenders or cars that they think they can get a lot of money of, but the city has been caught selling those cars and pocketing the cash and leaving Chicagoans with their unpaid parking tickets. It does the bill for the parking tickets, which they still have to pay, even after they've sold the car. So the city of Chicago is making millions of dollars a year off of this kind of scam.
So these are people who get so many parking tickets because they can't find parking. They get parking tickets. They can't pay it. Too expensive. They get penalties added on. It builds up to where they have no hope of paying it. They can't get the boot off, so they can't use the car. And now Chicago's selling the car. They still have to pay the tickets. And I'm guessing if they have a car note, they have to still continue to pay the car note.
Absolutely.
Meanwhile, the city has pocketed the money by confiscating their vehicle.
And I guess everybody could see the logic in this if they said, okay, we're going to sell your car to pay off your tickets. But no, they sell the car and they still have to pay the fine that they couldn't afford.
I'm thinking if I'm in Chicago and this happens to me, I'm moving to California. Because California, the governor yesterday promised a parking space for everybody.
Yeah, yes. But you can't drive there, though. You don't have a car.
How they
you
care.
You
they
have to
care
walk.
In California. Well, there'll be a walking space for everybody then. Whatever they need to do. All right, next story.
All right, let's talk about this is, Pizza Hut is apologizing to a UK vegan who's heartbroken when she found out that the food chain served ice cream that had milk in it. She had just
Pizza
finished.
Hut serves ice cream?
Well, it does.
When did this start?
It does in the UK.
I don't know, but I'm going to go.
She had just finished.
Wait a second. You can go and eat pizza and then eat ice cream for dessert?
It has milk in it. She had just finished her jackfruit pizza. Everybody loves a jackfruit
the
pizza,
pizza,
right?
And ice cream. Go ahead. I'm sorry. What now?
She had just finished her jackfruit pizza.
What is a jackfruit?
It's a vegan option for pizza, apparently. And was asking for some ice cream. And when she found out it had milk in it, she said, "This is appalling. I'm outraged, heartbroken, in fact. I feel like my lifestyle has been mocked. It's a mistake that should not have happened."
What did she think was in ice cream?
Cream. The fairy cream.
Fairy cream?
I don't know. I'm guessing.
So she's upset because the cow's milk
somebody
was taken?
Milks
yes,
fairies?
The vegans don't want to have anything to do with any part of it. Those animals are pretty sacred to them.
Well, she's in a Pizza Hut, and I'm sure serving pork sausage pizza.
To somebody.
So she doesn't have a problem paying for it. You
well,
know
she's
what I'm saying?
Not patronizing. On her pizza, though.
Yeah.
I know, but she's still supporting a business that kills cow hogs. Yeah.
Right.
And cows.
And cows.
And pepperonis.
That is one of the strangest stories I've heard in a long time.
Yeah.
That's why I brought it.
Yeah.
Ice cream.
I leave you scratching
you
your head.
You telling me there's milk in this ice cream?
I got to
tell you. I am shocked.
Like you're saying, Ed, anywhere that serves pizza and ice cream together.
Follow my ice cream?
We're there.
I think we need to go visit
my that. My wife's not going to let me do that.
Okay. Oh. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. Steve, appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.